in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Rand in Texas about police chiefs to Israel. And Rand, I didn't mean to get off on my soapbox like that. Where, what was your next comment?
Well, after I got back from being in New York for a week, after, you know, I was on the plane with him, he was going on to Israel. I mean, I have called everybody I know, and I know people, and, you know, they're journalists here that have been in, you know, TV anchors of local news shows and stuff, and I've called everybody. Nobody knows anything about him being in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually talked to a police officer that I saw in the park here, and asked him if he knew anything about it. And he said he thought he was over there on vacation. He was definitely not on vacation. I mean, the guy mm-hmm. told me himself he was going over with a delegation. Okay, so, you know, but I get back to Austin. I'm just incredibly, you know, bewildered by the fact that nobody knows anything about him being over there. And then the first day I'm back here in the American Statesman, which is like the main rag here, the main newspaper, I see this article that Austin now has 23 aerial drones mm-hmm. and 50 pilots. And Austin, they've been using them here since 2009, but this was the first time they'd publicly said anything about this. Well, Austin mm-hmm. right now is hurting financially, economically. This place, the mortgage crisis, I mean, the city of Austin gets all of its money basically from property taxes and a small sales tax.
Okay,
they are hurting so bad right now. They're laying off
I need to cut in here a little bit because we're almost at the end of the segment here, and I'm going to have to let you go. It is rather amazing, but you need to understand these drones are not about law enforcement. It's not about stopping crime. You cannot look into the inside of a grocery store with a drone and see if it's being held up. You cannot look inside somebody's home with a drone to see if it's being burglarized. You cannot look into somebody's apartment to see if a woman is being raped. These drones exist purely to make sure that large moving crowds of Americans can be bombed when necessary. And this is something that we need to understand. The U.S. government is terrified of the American people. They understand that the U.S. government and Wall Street abuse of Americans is worse than what Mubarak was doing to the people of Egypt. And now that Egypt has stood up and thrown off that tyrant, the government is afraid it's going to happen here, and they're trying to make preparations, as Mubarak did. But and again, when the U.S. government is seen acting as a dictatorship, that's only going to accelerate, you know, its demise. The fastest way to bring down a dictator is to force them to act like one where everybody can see it. And that's kind of what's going on right now. All right, and Rand, thanks an awful lot, and I understand this problem with the police being sent to Israel for indoctrination to always look at Muslims as bad, you know, and Hitler did the same thing to his police chiefs, you know, always suspect the Jew. It's the same dirty trick all over again. It's just a different targeted ethnic group. All righty, we've got two other people waiting on the phone, but I think I'm going to let them go until the next segment because we're almost here at a commercial break here. I notice that immediately our State Department, in order to distract from what the people of Egypt just did to Mubarak, now they're over there saying, well, Iran should do the same thing. Iran should have protests. Yes, we've got to make sure that Ahmadinejad is brought down. You never heard them say that about Mubarak, did you? That tells you, that underscores the fact the revolt in Egypt was a genuine popular uprising. What happened in Iran last year was a coup d'etat, and it failed. Like I said, CIA is 0-2 right now. All right, we're going to take a commercial break here. It's a very exciting day, and again, it's almost instructive to watch, you know, the corporate media and the American political establishment try to spin their way out of what really is a major political whoopsie. We'll be right back.
Shocking, terrifying, but very truthful and revealing. Finally, a documentary on the horrifying results of unopposed estrogen. Estrogen dominance. Are we writing our own epitaph? I urge you to go to www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner and watch the documentary, The Disappearing Male. To my knowledge, this is the first documentary about the threat that unopposed estrogen poses to our survival as a species. It's a real eye-opener. But the documentary gives no solution to the problem. We have the solution. If we don't get the progesterone message to the younger generation, especially the young women, our very survival is in jeopardy. Again, that website is www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner. After viewing, please visit our website, www.healthlinkamerica.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're still talking about the downfall of Hosni Mubarak in Egypt and what it means for the rest of the world. Basically, the world has just woken up to the realization that, yes, an oppressed people can, in fact, throw off bad government. And we're going to see a lot of propaganda coming down the tubes in the next several weeks saying, oh, it could never happen in the United States, and it really doesn't need to happen here because we're this really wonderful place. But it is a global response to the global fascist dictatorship being brought into being by the IMF. And it's happening a lot of other places besides Egypt. Let us not forget all the other countries that are already in the process of this kind of change here. Now, I'm looking at an article over at Business Insider. They're talking about Morocco has already, in a very peaceful manner, made major, major changes to their government in response to protests. And they're going about it very, very peacefully, and they're making a lot of changes. Now, Jordan is, you know, they're having massive protests over there. They're having to revamp their economy in response to that. Again, we're seeing a lot of old government being fired and new government brought in to try and fix the problems. Syria, Saudi Arabia, Libya. I mean, it's an ugly situation over there. Every place that the United States has gone in or Israel has gone in to establish a puppet regime in the name of stability, the inevitable result of all of those is poverty for the people, Loss of rights, loss of freedoms, no democracy. The United States has justified virtually every one of its considerable military interventions over the last 30, 40 years. Actually, to the end of to the Korean ceasefire, all the way back then. The United States government justifies all of these incursions by saying we're bringing democracy to these countries, and we never do. Go back and look at your history. The United States overthrows democratically elected governments and imposes dictators. We did it in Cuba when we brought Batista to power. We did it in Iran when we overthrew, when the U.S. government overthrew the democratically elected government of Mohammad Mossadegh and imposed the Shah. Did it in Chile when the United States government overthrew the democratically elected government of Allende and imposed Pinochet on the people. Ferdinand Marcos in the Philippines, and on and on, and Mubarak in Egypt, and on and on and on and on and on. And inevitably, every one of those U.S.-backed tyrants repressed their people, took away their freedoms and their rights, and economically exploited them, drove them down into poverty to serve the American corporate masters. And then revolution results, and the new government comes to power, doesn't much like the United States of America. And the U.S. government says, well, they only hate us for our freedoms. No, they hate the U.S. government because the U.S. government has a bad habit of screwing around with other people's countries to the detriment of the people they're in. So the Cubans under Castro kicked Batista and his people out. And the U.S. government goes, harumph, harumph, we're going to blockade you and boycott you, and we're going to pretend that you're the evil people. There's a 1979 Iranian Revolution, kicked out the Shah of Iran and brought the current Islamic and, might I add, very peaceful regime into power in Iran. And the U.S. government goes, harumph, harumph, they're the bad people, they've got to go. And even now, they're still trying to say, okay, well, you know, let's see if we can use what happened in Egypt to restart the coup against Ahmadinejad. It's not going to work because everybody knows that's what the U.S. government does. And they've been doing it all along. They don't know how to do anything else. That's the problem. Like I said, look at the record of who is invading who since 1979 when Iran became an Islamic regime. They haven't attacked anybody. They haven't invaded anybody. When was the last time you heard of Iranian agents going into a hotel in Dubai and blowing some guy away and getting their pictures taken all over the security camera? When was the last time Iranians attacked an aid flotilla full of food and medicine in international waters? It doesn't happen. The Jewish state does that stuff. The United States of America, officially technically secular but predominantly Christian, is constantly invading and attacking other countries. Who's the threat to world peace? We're the bad guys. They're trying to find some way to convince you that we're not, but we are. All right, we're going to go to the phones. Tom in Connecticut. Aloha, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Is Tom there? I guess he fell asleep. Can we switch over to Lee in Georgia?
No, this is Tom now. You didn't press the button.
Oh, I didn't press the button. I don't have a button to press. It's not my button. Okay, it's not my job, man. Anyway, Tom, what's on your mind?
Yeah, it's not going to happen here the way it happened in Egypt because we have 50 states that have their own government already. What we're going to see here are states seceding.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with the Middlebury Institute?
No, I'm not, but what you're saying is absolutely true. We're hearing more and more states talking about limiting federal authority, breaking free of federal authority. There's a sovereignty movement. Well, it's not even a sovereignty movement because the U.S. government admits Hawaii never lost its sovereignty. So there's an independence movement here to break free. There's one up in Alaska. There's one in Texas. I know there's one in there's the Western States Coalition. So you may be right. It may happen piecemeal rather than all at once, but I think it is really going to happen. And I think the instant the first state in the United States secedes from the federal government, you'll see a whole bunch of them do it. Like the last time when the Confederacy broke free, it was one state, and then all of a sudden a whole bunch of others said, yeah, this is a really good idea. And this time...
Well, the Middlebury Institute, they cover all that. Their website is middleburyinstitute.org, and they have an excellent website covering all the state movements, including the one in Vermont.
Can you email that to me?
There was actually an issue in Time magazine last month called the Top 10... aspiring nations, and unfortunately, they didn't list Hawaii on their article there.
Well, they ought to, and we'll correct them on that, and I'll ask Leon Hsu to look into that. Can you email me that URL, and I'll take a look at that?
Yeah, sure. If you really want to get involved and get active, get involved in the Hawaii independence movement, because that's where it's going to happen.
I already am. Okay, but mail me that URL, and I want to go back, though, and respond. I want to complete the thought that I was trying to get to before. Okay, when we start seeing states secede from the federal government here in the United States, we'll see a whole bunch go all at once, and they'll all do it all at once. The last time when the Confederacy broke free, Abraham Lincoln had a political device that he could use to sell war, a reconquest to the northern states, and that was the issue of slavery. Okay, Lincoln really didn't care one way or the other about slavery. It was an issue he could use to motivate the northern armies into reinvading the seceding states. It wasn't about reconquering them and bringing them back into the tax rolls for the federal government. It was, you know, it was sold as, we're going to make the black people free. Well, right now, the U.S. government doesn't have an issue like that that they can use to galvanize support for, you know, the people of Ohio to start reinvading the people of Virginia. Okay, it's, they don't have it, and they don't have the money. And this time they're dealing with a much better educated population than was true back in the 1860s. And so if there is a balkanization of the United States and states start seceding, the federal government does not have the military might to reconquer a new Confederacy this time, because they don't have the political device to do it. They don't have a population that is going to believe what they're told by the federal government in this post-Saddam's nuke age. And the federal government is so broke, nobody's going to loan them the money to go in and lay waste to what's left of the United States of America. So you may be right on that particular issue, Tom, that in the United States it may not happen all at once as happened in Egypt, but may start happening state by state. Time will solve that mystery. We don't know. But we do know change has to come. We cannot continue on the same path of absolute impoverishment and wealth confiscation by the government to keep the Wall Street bankers in $100,000 wristwatches. All right, Lee in Georgia, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, good. What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, I'm really enjoying this conversation because we've been talking a lot about this around here lately. But, you know, you're exactly right. I was talking to, we went shopping last night, did some grocery shopping last night. We were talking to a bunch of people in the grocery store. We're talking about Egypt. And one of them made the statement about, well, that could never happen here because, you know, one reason or another. And I turned and I looked at him. I said, don't think for one second that that can't happen here. I said, you think about right now with everything that's going on and all the different freedom movements that are taking place in this country right now. Eventually, people may, if it comes to it, get tired of it, and we'll see exactly what happened in Egypt happen here in the United States. I said, and don't think for one second, and you're exactly right, Mike, Washington has been watching this very closely. They are nervous because they know that if the American people rise up, it's not going to be like, you know, these other countries where you have basically an unarmed population. So Washington is very nervous right now. And
but
I guarantee
are,
you, they're already thinking about what they're going to do.
Let me tell it. We're at the end of the segment here. I'm going to have to let you go. Thank you very much for the phone call. I want to tell everybody right now, as you go around and you hear people saying, oh, that could never happen here, meaning in the United States, and say, oh, are we still part of the British Empire? Because it not only can happen here, it already has. We have fired a tax-happy government that wouldn't listen to the people once before. So, of course it can happen here again. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back after these commercials.
Our Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back to the show here, and we are continuing to talk about the situation in Egypt, and we're talking about what appears to be a mounting, massive propaganda effort by Israel to demonize what has happened in Egypt, to demonize Iran, to basically they're screaming hissy fits about the threat to Israel. Well, you know something? I'm sorry, but Israel has gone out of its way to make enemies of everybody in the region. And every time they get in trouble, the first thing they do is they come to the United States and say, save me, daddy, please, please, they're being mean to me again. You know, and there's an old saying that if you want a dog to stop chasing cars, you let him catch one. And I mean, you know, and Israel's making all this stink face at everybody around them. And almost inevitably, they're trying to distract from what happened in Egypt by screaming about how, oh, you know, Hezbollah in Lebanon is making bad expressions at us. We're going to have... Israel's getting ready to go into Lebanon again. They want that Litani River. They may go back into Gaza again because they understand they're about to lose control of Gaza. The Israeli-imposed starvation blockade is likely to collapse under the new Egyptian government, especially after the people of Gaza were feeding the Egyptian soldiers who were going hungry in the Sinai. Military people are a very closed society. When you are kind to them, they remember it. they remember it. And so Israel's just in an absolute total panic, and they're trying to distract. And like I said, a big piece of propaganda you're going to get from the American corporate media and from the seminar callers and from all the megaphonies are going to say, oh, it could never happen here. Of course it can happen here. They wouldn't be putting drones in the skies over Austin, Texas if they didn't think it could happen here. They wouldn't have TV cameras on all the street corners if they didn't think it could happen here. They wouldn't be pushing as hard as they can to try and renew the Patriot Act so that they can listen to your phone calls without warrants if they didn't think it was going to happen here. They know it can happen here. It's why we're not part of the British Empire anymore. And they're scared out of their mind that the American people are going to find the courage that the Egyptians just did. All along, we kept hearing about how the Egyptian protesters were saying, we just hit that point where we lost our fear. We lost our fear of the secret police. We lost our fear of torture. We lost our fear of Mubarak. And that made it easy to stand up and take the country back. And we know that is what happens, because fear is very tiring. It's exhausting to stay afraid all the time when the government is just waving terrorists at you and, you know, Napolitano's out there saying, oh, it's worse than 9/11. We've got terrorists for you. Booga, booga, booga. Big, scary terrorists. They're trying to just play that same Trump card over and over again. But you can only be scared for so long before you simply physically cannot feel afraid anymore. You're too tired. I know you're waving scary things at me, but I just don't have the energy to be afraid. I do have the energy to be angry. I have a lot of energy to be angry with. I'm just too tired to be afraid. That's what happened in Egypt. Sooner or later, it will happen here. It's unavoidable. When a long train of abuses and usurpations. Your homework assignment for the weekend is to go back and read the entire Declaration of Independence. I'll put a link to it up at whatreallyhappened.com. You need to re-familiarize yourselves with exactly what was being done in this country that led to the American people losing their fear and telling King George III to go stuff it. Alrighty, moving right along here. Now, the Swiss have frozen assets identified as belonging to Mubarak. Like I said, Mubarak stole billions of dollars from the Egyptian people, just as Wall Street has stolen trillions of dollars from you. And the Swiss, I'm presuming at the request of the new government, have frozen Mubarak's assets, and the money will eventually be repatriated to the Egyptian government. They're going to need it. Mubarak was looting the place on his way out. We reported 3 weeks ago massive gold bullion shipments out of Egypt to parts unknown. So the new Egyptian government is facing a problem in that economically, Mubarak has basically stolen all the silverware as he headed out the door. So they're going to be grabbing his assets and trying to bring them back in. The United States is already out there saying, we're willing to help. We'll loan you money. We'll put you back into debt slavery to help you out. And the people of Egypt are saying, thank you very much. You have helped us enough. So I don't think that's going to work. Now, over in Yemen, President Saleh is basically waving Al-Qaeda at his people, saying, if it's not for me, Al-Qaeda would be tearing the tags off your couch cushions. You know, they'd be planting crabgrass on your lawn. And all those bad things are going to happen if I'm gone. Remember when Mubarak was saying that without him, Egypt would plunge into chaos? And the very next day, we had Egyptians on their own volunteering, cleaning up the litter and the debris from the protests themselves, because they were taking pride in their nation again, because it was their nation again. It reminds me of going around the United States of America, and we are a land with a great deal of natural beauty, and you see litter and bottles and can and just rubbish. It's a psychological indicator. People are not afraid of this country, are not respectful of this country, because it's not their country anymore. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the total transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my total transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And before we go to the phones, first of all, I wanted to elaborate on what I was saying when we were cut off by the break. If you are living in a country where the people feel it is their country, inevitably you will see a great deal of personal pride in the nation, not just in the flags and the banners and the regalia, but just in how it looks overall. You will not see a lot of litter. You will not see a lot of deterioration. People will take care of that which they believe they own. I remember years ago when I was working in Germany, or even just up in Canada, at how clean it is, because the Germans believe that it is their country and they take pride in it. The Canadians feel much the same way. Here in the United States of America, we see litter all over the place, graffiti, just a general deterioration. Why? Well, Americans are not proud of their country. And they're not proud of their country basically for two reasons. One, our country has not behaved in a way that one can be proud of it. Between lying to start wars, impoverishing the people for the banks, impoverishing the people for Israel, torture, violation of our rights, people can be forgiven for not really giving a darn. And this tendency to drop litter all over everything is kind of a passive-aggressive way, a very quiet form of rebellion. You know, if it's not my country, I'm just going to trash the place. And so I see that serious litter and deterioration problem in the United States as very much an indicator that people do understand, to some degree, that they have lost their own country, that this really is a dictatorship for the benefit of foreign interests. Now, before we go to the phones, we're getting a headline now. Yesterday, or the day before, I think it was, we reported on an unfounded rumor that King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia had died of a heart attack. And the story was that he'd had a heart attack after having a screaming match with Barack Obama on the phone over the deteriorating situation in Egypt. And the government of Saudi Arabia denied the story. Now they're confirming that the king is alive, but the heart attack did happen. And they're being very closed and cagey about it, but they are now confirming that the king has had a major medical emergency. And I know the king's brother has been summoned to the seats of power to possibly temporarily assume control again. And I understand why Saudi Arabia is trying to keep the lid on this, because they're looking at Egypt, and Saudi Arabia understands that their people are very angry over the wealth disparity in their country and how much their country basically serves American interests in the region. And there could very easily, if the Saudi King Abdullah were to die, that could catalyze a revolution there. So that story just came through, and we'll be keeping an eye on that. All righty, going back to the phones, Vince in Montana. Aloha, Vince. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, aloha, Mike. Hey, that's aloha. A great story about Saudi Arabia. That's a breaker there.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's... it's... And again, it reveals the degree of fear within their government that even this little bit of news might be the spark to trigger a revolt.
Well, I just watched Obama's speech on Al Jazeera, and I got to say, he gave a very impressive speech. It's too bad he didn't give it 18 days ago.
Yeah, it's too late there, guys.
Here's my take on the situation. You know, 18 days ago, they had Hosni Mubarak as the head of a military dictatorship. Today, they have Omar Suleiman as the head of a military dictatorship.
I don't know that he's really the head of it.
Well, yeah,
I don't think he's the head of it. I think remember, the Supreme Military Council is in charge. And I think Suleiman was kept on to create the idea of a smooth transition and continuity of government. But I think he's an enfeebled king, if you want to go back to the whole Legends of the Merovingians. I think he's got the office and the title, but I don't think he's really calling the shots there.
Well, I hope you're right. But the way I see it is that while they have prevented a familial dynastic succession, as soon as the day that Gamal Mubarak left the country, they really, you know, who knows who's actually in charge there? I think Israel is still fairly confident that they've got the reins of power.
That's not what I'm seeing in the Israeli newspapers. They're in a panic. They're absolutely
really?
In a panic.
Well, maybe I'm not getting as good of sources as you are there.
Well, I'm looking at Haaretz is a good one. Arutz Shiva is another one. Basically, their idea is that their ongoing peace treaty with Egypt was literally the cornerstone of their foreign policy in the Middle East, that they could always count, that they didn't have to worry about anything happening from Egypt while they went off and bombed Syria and Lebanon and all these other areas. Now, all of a sudden, they're looking at a potential military threat coming from the south, if for no other reason than if the new Egypt opens the border with Gaza, and the Gazans will now have weapons to shoot back at with when they get invaded. And you know, the Israeli soldiers...
That may be true, but
they're manly and they're butch only when they're shooting at unarmed people.
Sorry. I got a little delay there. The peace treaty with Israel, the way I understand it, was always kind of a forced treaty that resulted after the construction of the High Aswan Dam, and Israel went in there and declared that it would be a one-missile war if they blew up that dam and drowned 60,000 Egyptians. And after that, Anwar Sadat got very compliant, and that's when the Camp David Accords were signed.
That's definitely true, and a lot of Egyptians really felt that Israel had acted improperly in that, and that's why the new government of Egypt is not going to have a huge amount of public support for renewing that peace treaty with Israel. And were Israel to bomb the Aswan High Dam, you know, there's no way they can sell that as a reasonable, action on their part. It's along the lines of having nuclear weapons and not admitting to them. Everybody sees Israel as simply not playing by the rules any longer. And of course, the military, what they're probably going to do is, if they do not already have an air defense system around the Aswan Dam, there will be one there within the next week or two.
Well, as usual, I count on you to keep us informed ahead of time. It's a really good show.
All right, thank you very much. I'm doing the best that I can, and we're going to move over to David in Iowa. Aloha, David. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. I'll just dig right into it and put it out there, and you tell me what's going on, all right? I've been suspicious of Soyman since, like, day one. When
you and everybody else on the planet.
Yeah, the Egyptian defense ministers were in Washington. The riots start. Mubarak is immediately secluded from the public. You know, it seemed like the perfect opportunity for a coup for me. But, Mubarak refused to resign, but at the same time, he officially delegated his presidential powers to Soleiman. So,
well,
and
that's what he said he did, and yeah. I want to point something out here. If he had really given his powers over to Soleiman, then he wouldn't have cared about another 7 months in office, and yet he was willing, Mubarak was willing to plunge Egypt into a bloody civil war, ostensibly over 7 more months in office with no real power and authority. So that story never really made sense, you know, whatsoever. I'm sure that from the U.S. and Israeli point of view, they want Soleiman to be in charge. I don't think he is. I was watching his face when he came out and made the announcement about Mubarak stepping down, and this was not the face of a guy who just got the top job. And
yeah,
I think he's
really
just
mad, but if you think about it from a technicality point, the Supreme Council did convene and did their first communique without Mubarak, but he is technically the presidential power, technically the head of that council. And Tansawi did head the council meeting and issued the first communique, but Soleiman is technically the presidential power, and the emergency technically is still in effect, and he's technically the head of that council.
Yeah,
right now.
And President Obama is technically the president of the United States, but we never see him stand up to Israel's lobby and interest in the federal government. We never see any president stand up to the might of the military-industrial complex. So being president isn't all that it's cracked up to be, and looking at Suleiman's face, you know, as he's announcing that Mubarak has stepped down, basically he's telling everybody, I just got the number one job, and yet looking at his face, he did not look happy. And I think he understands that at least for the immediate future, and possibly all the way until whenever they actually do have elections again, which he will lose, there's no way he can survive an actual election. I think he understands the military really is in control, and he is just a figurehead. His job is like that of Barack Obama, to go out and make really good-sounding speeches, but he's not. I don't think he's really in charge. It doesn't feel like it, or Israel would not be having the panic that they're having.
Okay. Well, thanks for your input. Time will tell. We'll see what's up.
Yeah, time will solve that mystery. We're switching over to Charles in California. Aloha, Charles. Welcome to the show. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize. I'm going to take a call out of sequence because we've got Karen Tostado on the line. And Karen, aloha. Welcome to the show. I didn't see you waiting in the list, or I would have gotten to you sooner. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Michael. Well, thank you very much. And, you know, I'm hoping for the best for those brave, courageous Egyptians. And they did show us the spirit of Gandhi, which is what we're all about. And I'm just wanting to remind folks that we have our marathon tomorrow on UnitedWeStrike.com. And to tune in then, we've got tons of great information. We're growing, and may that spirit not only stay with the Egyptians, but spread throughout the world so we can make change and get rid of these damn bankers.
Yeah, absolutely agree here. Get rid of the money addicts. It's time to do it. And again, it doesn't really matter what's going on in the back channels, whether Soleiman works for Israel or for the U.S. or the CIA or who's doing what. Politics is perception. And the public perception is the people of Egypt succeeded in overthrowing a tyrant. And if Egypt can do it, anybody can do it. That's the message.
There you go. And we got plenty of tyrants right here in this country we need to get rid of.
We seem to have the factory on them.
Just keep
School
turning
the
them out. Well, Michael, thank you for all you do. And you're welcome to join us anytime tomorrow. Starts at 6 a.m. Pacific. Ends at 6 p.m. Pacific. It'll go right into the archives, and we're looking forward to it. We got lots of special guests, and the schedule is on taxfree15.com.
All right, I will try and tune in tomorrow. I don't know that I can. I've got some other stuff that's happening, but I will try and step in for a little while.
All right, well, thank you. You're always welcome, and thank you to all your listeners. And I'm happy to see at least Mubarak step down, you know, and we'll take it from there. But it looks like good things are happening in the world, and people are waking up.
I would agree with you on that one. Thank you very much for the call, Karen. Charles in California, thank you very much for waiting. What is on your mind?
I just wanted to respond what I think about that succession thing you were talking about. I think that would be a bad idea for the states to succeed because
you
I think it
secede.
Would open up a lot of problems with other countries trying to invade us through those succeeded areas.
Who,
how do you feel about
who
that?
Who would want to invade us? I mean, Mexico did, but they've already succeeded. You know,
China is one, I would think. China is
no,
already...
I'll tell you why not. Because China may have a lot of people in uniform, but they don't have the ships to transport them across the ocean. And all a foreign invasion would do would be to, you know, the states that are seceding are still going to have nuclear weapons. If Hawaii became an independent republic today, there is still a harbor full of ships carrying nuclear weapons down in the harbor, and there's still a whole bunch of holes in the ground over there on the leeward side with a bunch of nuclear weapons in there. So the individual states of the United States of America are not weak and helpless. California, at least when I still lived there, was the eighth most powerful economy on the planet Earth all by itself. I know it's been in decline since then. But in point of fact, nobody attacked the United States when the Confederacy broke away. So I don't think that's a valid argument. I don't think that's a valid argument at all.
Well, I just think that if, say, a state turned its back on the government, which I don't, you know, like, I'm not sticking up for the government, but if they did turn their back on it, and a state decided to take over, you know, was taken over by, say, China or anybody, Russia, could be anybody, the U.S.
You know,
government would
that's,
say,
that's
well,
real
we're not going to protect them.
Thank you
Bad.
For the phone call. Thank you very much. That's real 1950s Cold War propaganda thinking, and I was raised with that in school. Oh, the commies are hiding under your bed. The commies are in your bedroom closet. They're going to come out and they're going to do terrible things to you. And it's nonsense. It's nonsense. Logistically, the United States of America is a very difficult place to get to invade it. That's why we've never been invaded. The only countries in a position to invade are Canada, who are too polite to do so, and because of Canadian bacon, we know they're coming. And the only country that's really invading us is Mexico, and they're already doing it, and our government won't do a thing to stop them. So, no, Russia and China are not coming over here to invade the United States of America. China could buy the place if they wanted it. And Russia has had enough of the Americans, and they don't want to have anything to do with us. You know, this idea that the whole world is out to get us, you know, that's Cold War 1950s propaganda. It's the crud that Israel is waving at their people. You know, they're all out to get us. You've got to support us no matter what war crimes we're doing because, you know, they're going to come get you if we don't. And it goes on and on and on and on. In fact, there's a very interesting quote by one of the Israeli politicians as our thought for the day at whatreallyhappened.com. If you go down just past the little banner graphic we have up there, walk like an Egyptian, the thought for the day, and you read that and you will understand that is how tyrannies rule their people, with a constant fear that the Arabs are going to get you, that the Russians are going to invade, that the Chinese are going to invade, Al-Qaeda is coming for you. It's just a constant non-stop fear-mongering to keep you psychologically weak and helpless. And like I said, and as we just saw demonstrated in Egypt, fear is tiring. It is exhausting. And there comes a point where you simply cannot feel fear any longer because it's just burned out. You've burned out the neurotransmitters. It's just not there. It's not even a question of deciding to be courageous or deciding to be brave. You simply are physically unable to feel fear any longer. That's what happened in Egypt. It's going to happen here sooner or later, with beyond a doubt. All righty, let's see. So Yemen's still in trouble. Tunisia's still in trouble. There is now a major anti-government protest in Baghdad against the American puppet regime. Boy, is this sounding familiar. So let's start. You know, Iraq might go up in revolt against the American puppet government. Meanwhile, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Israel is already whining about how Mubarak's fall is bad for, you know, their continued starvation of Gaza, and how, oh my gosh, the Gazans might actually have a decent standard of living, and then we're never going to get them to give up their elected government and accept foreign rule. And as I said, Israel, for all their whining, they've created their own problems. And the U.S. should stand back and let nature take its course. If the Israelis really are God's chosen people, they don't need American tax dollars to pay their bills. They don't need American children to fight in the wars. The Lord Jehovah will drop big chunks of gold on their lawns and send lightning to strike their enemies. You can't have it both ways. If you're God's favorite, God will take care of you. Leave us alone. We'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. And using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Okay, we have some kind of a problem here. Okay. Hang on. Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay. I don't know. We had some strange sound on there. All right. Welcome back to the show, and everything seems to be just fine. right now with our communication. We've got one more caller on the line. Dennis in Michigan, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Michael. I got to weigh in on this secession person that was a call or two ago.
Yeah.
I'm in mid-Michigan. My sister's in Vermont, and they actually have a secessionist movement there that's not too bad. And can you imagine, you know, the public relations of the U.S. Army invading Vermont? You know, that would not go good at all.
No, it wouldn't go well. The U.S. Army invading any state is not going to go well at all. And again, it gets back to that thing. The fastest way to bring down a dictator is to force them to act like one where everybody can see it. And in sending the U.S. Army into a state, whether it's Vermont or Arizona, you know, is going to basically signal the government is no longer working for the people. The government is the enemy of the people. And, you know, we've had polls, Rasmussen and Gallup polls over the last couple of years basically saying less than a quarter of the population think the federal government is their friend. And by an interesting coincidence, about one quarter of the population get checks from the federal government.
Well, you along with Tarpley and a few other people are very sharp cookies. And I want to get you to weigh in on there's a movement of accession, I think it's called, in Switzerland or Sweden, where countries or areas next to the country is trying to join them.
Yeah.
I don't know a whole lot about it, but I think I heard it on Mark Anderson's show on your network.
Well, basically, it's sort of like the idea of an unincorporated area near a city wanting to become part of the city through a treaty of annexation. I don't know that that would really apply here to the United States of America. I know that should Hawaii win its independence or Alaska, they're going to go back to being republics. They're not going to want to be part of any other larger country. We're beginning to see a real anti-globalist mentality take root in the world's population.
If I may interrupt, that's my point, is that, you know, they're people next to them are trying to get out of the euro. It's a country that doesn't have the euro. I think it's Switzerland.
Oh, okay. And yeah, that's not accession. That is secession. Basically, they're trying to get out of the confederation and whatever word they're going to call it. But yeah, more and more countries are talking about getting away from the euro because it's just another private central bank issuing the public currency at interest.
Right.
And virtually every nation that has gone to the euro is now hideously in debt to the European Central Bank. They got suckered. Now they know it. Okay, I got to let you go. We're at the end of the show. Thank you very much for the phone call. Boy, this one went by really, really fast. It is the end of the show, the end of the week. We'll be back Monday, 2 o'clock Central on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to continue following the situation in Egypt. It's a very, very exciting time. Everybody in the corporate media and the government are trying to spin this as an anomaly. And yes, it's really great, but it'll never happen here. And it's absolute nonsense. This did not start in the Middle East. It will not end in the Middle East. It started in Iceland. They threw out their government. They jailed the bankers. That's going to take hold everywhere. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, stay safe, stay well. Major storm coming in. Careful driving. And aloha, America.